25 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Register today at issuesetc.org.
There's a social justice super clause. In other words, all laws should be interpreted according to the demands and dictates of social justice.
You know, the feminists used to say the personal is political. And we should have listened to them when they said that because they meant it. And what they meant was that absolutely every detail of your life would become politicized and that they meant to get into your life.
What we find here revealed in Job is that the point of being a Christian is Christ, is knowing Him, who is the Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, who shed His blood for us.
Homemakers in Indiana love Issues Etc.
Is this just a kind of a sky is falling scenario here, to think that there may come a time when doctors, medical professionals, pharmacists have to choose between their careers and supporting abortion, recommending abortion, perhaps even performing or aiding in abortion? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live on this Monday afternoon, the 15th of May. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Wesley Smith about the future of medical conscience. Terry Mattingill will join us a little bit later. He wants to discuss media coverage of the release of about 60 girls who were kidnapped 3 years ago by Boko Haram. There's something missing from the media coverage that he wants to examine. And then Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C., is going to join us to talk about the implementation of the Trump administration's pro-life foreign aid policy, part of that, one of those executive orders that President Trump signed recently. You can join us over the next hour. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. Joining us to discuss the future of medical conscience, Wesley Smith, a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Due Harm Medicine. He's columnist for National Review Online and author of a recent column for First Things titled Pro-Lifers, Get Out of Medicine. Wesley, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Good to talk to you again.
Is it realistic, is it possible that medical professionals in the United States could be forced to choose between their careers or aiding and abetting in abortion?
Well, there are certainly powerful forces that would like that to be so. And it is already the law in Victoria, Australia, where doctors must, who are asked for an abortion, by law, must either perform the abortion upon request or find the abortionist for the patient. If you don't, you could be disciplined. That has already happened to one doctor of whom I know, who refused to refer for a sex selection abortion and suffered professional consequences. That is also about to be the law with regard to active lethal injection euthanasia in Ontario, Canada, where the parliament there is formally legalizing that province's law based on what the Supreme Court did a couple of years ago, legalizing euthanasia, active euthanasia throughout Canada. And they are refusing to permit a conscience exemption for doctors who believe it is wrong to commit homicide, who believe that it, which it does, violates the Hippocratic Oath, who may have a religious belief that that would be a cardinal sin or a grievous sin. So this stuff is really beginning to happen around the world. There was an article in the New England Journal of Medicine, which I wrote about in First Things, which is probably why you called me on this. And it was written by Ezekiel Emanuel. Now, Ezekiel Emanuel is one of the most powerful and influential, it was co-authored by him, bioethicists in this country for sure and around the world. He is one of the premier architects of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. And he wrote this in the New England Journal of Medicine. This isn't some little internet online journal written by somebody with a pyramid on their head made out of tinfoil. This is the most prestigious medical journal in the world. And things don't get into that journal unless the journal approves of them, at least in terms of as a respectable area of debate. And what Ezekiel Emanuel said is that doctors have to take their moral consciences and check them in their locker when they put on the white physician's coat, and they must do all requested procedures that are medically okay, even if they have a religious or moral objection, so long as the medical community has accepted it. It's kind of like a tyranny of the majority. If the medical consensus is that this is acceptable, then doctors must do it. And they specifically state that that applies to abortion. Let me read this to you. This is quoting Ezekiel Emanuel and his co-author. Abortion is politically and culturally contested. It is not medically controversial. It is a standard obstetrical practice. Healthcare professionals who conscientiously object to professionally contested interventions may avoid participating in them directly. Conscientious objection still requires conveying accurate information and providing timely referrals to ensure patients receive care. So Ezekiel Emanuel wants to force every doctor who's asked for an abortion, to, as long as it's legal, to either do it or find a doctor who will. That makes them complicit. This is published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Anybody who says, oh, ho, it can't happen here, has been asleep for 50 years and is whistling past the graveyard.
And it's even broader than that. I mean, as horrifying as what you just read is, the reasoning here on the part of Emanuel is broader in essentially, at least as I read it as a layperson, saying if the patient asks for it and it's legal, the doctor's got to do it.
Right. That the, and there's no moral of if the doctor doesn't have the professional capability, I assume that then the doctor would have to find another doctor who could do it. But what's really astonishing is he says what matters isn't the moral conscience of the individual physician, that they basically have no right to a moral conscience. What matters is the opinion of the medical establishment. And if the medical establishment accepts a certain procedure, then it must be done. This is a tyranny of the majority like I've never seen. And he said, he writes in this that doctors don't have to assist in suicides, but only because it is still contentious within the medical community. Based on the Emanuel rule, if assisted suicide ever became medically accepted by most doctors, then doctors would have to commit homicide or participate in suicide as a, well, let me have him tell you. Healthcare, this is again Emanuel quote, healthcare professionals who are unwilling to accept these limits have two choices. Select an area of medicine such as radiology that will not put them in situations that conflict with their personal morality, or if there is no such area, leave the profession. The point of this, and this is not the only article such as this, they've been written in some of the most prestigious bioethics and medical journals around the world. The Journal of Medical Ethics, which is published by Oxford, is another recent example. The drive is on to drive doctors and nurses who are pro-life, who are, say, Orthodox Catholic, who would be LCMS and follow your church's moral tenets, who are Muslim, who are other atheists, but who believe in the Hippocratic Oath, out of medicine. And by the way, to keep those who believe such things from going to medical school in the first place. Moral diversity, according to this medical establishment, is no longer wanted in healthcare. And that's really a dangerous thing, and it's an authoritarian advocacy.
Two thoughts there. I mean, if this has the effect of essentially keeping people from pursuing medical careers unless they're basically willing to do whatever the medical community decides can be done.
Right, that's basically it.
We, by attrition, we end up with an army of doctors, physicians, and other healthcare medical professions who are willing to do anything.
Right, and that means dangerous. They're not professionals. What they are is technocratic service providers. And it's a deprofessionalization of healthcare, of medicine. And this would also, by the way, apply to nurses. And it's already being applied to some pharmacists who don't want to distribute things like the morning after pill. There was a regulation in the state of Washington that was promoted and sponsored by Planned Parenthood that specifically, and there was no question because there was a trial on this, that there had been an existing conscience exemption for that kind of for pharmacists who don't wish to, who had a moral objection to dispensing certain pharmacy products. They got rid of it on purpose with the intent of going after this small Catholic pharmacy. It's called Stromer's, I believe. And it was clear. The trial judge who basically originally ruled for the pharmacist said, look, this was aimed at this particular business. And it didn't matter because it's a rule of general application. The Court of Appeals reversed. And what's really awful is that if there's a business reason not to carry drugs, for example, there's not enough demand, then you can be exempt from carrying those drugs if you're a pharmacy. But if you have a moral objection to carrying those drugs, even if you post signs, 10 feet high, so that anybody coming in knows that you're not going to dispense this particular drug, there is no exemption permitted. So you're beginning to see pharmacists pressured and forced into dispensing things that go against their owners and the individual pharmacist's moral beliefs. Nurses are going to really fall into this. Doctors are falling into this in Canada already, and in Australia, and the advocacy is on here. The big OBGYN association in the United States has been very clear for several years that they oppose allowing conscience objections, which is currently the law in this country. But if you ever get a administration, let me just say, like Hillary Clinton's might have been, I believe that Hillary Clinton, who wanted to do away with the Hyde Amendment, which prevents the federal government from funding abortions, I believe that her administration would have, or one similar to hers that will come into existence someday, they will want to do away with conscience exemptions. Because when George Bush tried to strengthen them, George W. Bush, the howling could be heard on the moon. People were so upset about that. This is, by the way, medicine is becoming weaponized as a way of imposing utilitarian, individualist, secular values throughout the society. And if this continues, at some point you're not going to be able to find a doctor who would not be willing to kill you under the right circumstances. And I find that terribly frightening.
You talk about do harm medicine. Is this what you mean?
Yes. That's exactly my book. Yeah, that is exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. You're getting to the place where healthcare is becoming a vehicle for intent. Well, it already is in terms of abortion. Every abortion takes a human life. That's the science of it. Whether that's right or wrong is a matter of philosophy, values, religion. But the biology of it is that every abortion extinguishes a human life. And to force somebody to take a human life who's not in the military and following a lawful order is tyranny.
You can read Wesley Smith's column at First Things titled Pro-Lifers Get Out of Medicine at our website, issuesetc.org. Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Due Harm Medicine, and he's a columnist for National Review Online. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, Terry Mattingly joins us. About 3 years ago, Boko Haram, this group of African Islamic radicals, kidnapped about 300 girls, little girls. Now, 3 years later, they are getting ready to release, have released some 60 of them. What part of the story is not being told? We'll answer that question right after this.
The number of recent Christian martyrs is staggering. 90,000 Christians are estimated to have died for the faith in the past year alone. Wondering what to think and how to prepare to endure persecution yourself? Check out Maze, the Lutheran Witness, for insight on memorizing the scriptures, learning from the early church martyrs, and looking to Christ on the cross for comfort. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer. $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues, Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.